T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You do have to keep it, Joe, as you know, 100. Thank you for that in the back. That was great.
Welcome in. Thanks for hanging out with us this morning. Joe, low, Dibs, 95.7 the game. Congratulations to Oscar in San Leandro. Which superstar won the inaugural Money in the Bank ladder match in 2005? The answer, Dibs? Edge.
Oh, of course.
You were thinking Christian? It was Edge.
I thought it was Bono. I didn't know it was Edge. Good Lord. I didn't know Edge was a wrestler.
Oscars won 2 tickets to see WWE Payback at SAP Center. We'll have more to give away tomorrow at 8:45. Here's how the next hour is going to shake down. Javi Lopez, 4-time World Series champ, set to join us in just a moment. Around 9:15, we're going to jump into the disaster that took place in San Antonio last night, featuring the Memphis Grizzlies. At 9:30, how the Warriors can keep Iguodala and Sean Livingston in the fold. And then at 9:45, how about a visit with Sean Livingston? How about right now, Dibs with your update.
And we're getting set for game 2 of the first round of the NBA playoffs for the Golden State Warriors. They've got Portland in town tomorrow, 7:30, your tip time. Our coverage begins with Warriors warm-up, Damon Bruce and Kerry Keating at 6 o'clock right here on 95.7 The Game. After every Warriors home playoff game, we are joined by Kelenna Azubuike in studio, and he talked about Klay Thompson shaking off a bad shooting performance.
He is a mentally tough player. Missing shots does not bother him at all. His facial expression doesn't change. He's just going to keep shooting the ball. And he's not worried about the game he had yesterday. Only 15 points. We know Klay can get ridiculously hot.
Klay Thompson on the NBA first team, all expressionless, Joe, along with Kawhi Leonard and others.
You know, I can see how the playoffs are going to work their way to this eventual narrative. What's wrong with Klay? What's wrong with Klay? How come he hasn't had the big game yet? Newsflash, they need him on the defensive end of the floor against Lillard and McCollum right now. Let KD and Steph handle your scoring. He can help on the defensive end. And then just when that narrative, where's Klay? What's wrong with Klay? Builds to a crescendo. He's going to go out and have a Claymaker game, drop 18 and a quarter, score 36 for the game, and be instrumental in a big victory down the road. We've seen it before. We'll see it again, Dibs.
Much like we did in Game 6 at OKC last year.
Oh, yeah.
When it was pure Claymation. Story number 2, the Sharks back on the ice tonight looking for a goal. They trail Edmonton 2-1. They haven't scored in 2 consecutive games. Our coverage begins at 6:30 on our sister station, KFOX 98.5. Story number 3, A's baseball. They're coming off a rainout and a shutout, losing 7-0 to Texas. Jarrell Cotton gave up 5 hits. He walked 4. Kendall Graveman placed on the DL with a shoulder issue. It's Andrew Triggs tonight against Yu Darvish, 6:15. The Dugout Show right here on 95.7 The Game. The Giants, meanwhile, on the road, opening up a 2-game set at Kansas City. Matt Cain gets the ball against Jason Hamill. Another big start for the $21 million man. The update brought to you by NBC Sports. Warriors Game 2 is on NBC Sports Bay Area. Fitz, JB, Roz, Papa Saint, and Kelenna get it started Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. on NBC Sports Bay Area. I'm Dan Dibley on your home for the Warriors. 95.7 The Game.
Damn right, Dibs. 95.7 The Game is the home for every Golden State Warriors playoff game. Radio, mobile, app, web straight streaming. We have you covered. You won't miss a minute leading up to, during, or following any Warrior game. Game 2 versus Portland, Warrior warm-up, start time, Wednesday, 6 p.m. at Oracle. Game 3 at Portland and Game 4 at Portland. Warrior warm-up start times are Saturday at 6, Monday the 24th at 6 p.m. as well. He is a 4-time World Series champion, one of the great guests this show has ever had the pleasure of talking to. Javi Lopez, now with NBC Sports Bay Area, joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Javi, good morning. How's retirement treating you?
Great. I just got back from the gym. I got to work out at my own tempo, my own pace, and I have to get ready for nothing.
How does the gym workout vary in retirement versus the season? We always get to hear the nuances of what Lo Neal's got going on, whether it be the power reels or the power push-ups or God knows what else. What do you got going on these days?
Well, I'm actually working out a lot more upper body. You know, I got to get my body ready to go. So it's a lot more chest, a lot more arms. That was a plan because I needed to stay flexible. But now who cares about flexibility?
Yeah, it's about the glamour muscles.
Exactly right. You know, you got to have the pecs. You got to have the biceps. You got to do the whole deal.
Do you have any other athletic goals or interests now that you have the ability to go out and lift and change your body in that way? Are there other things that you want to do athletically now that you're not tied to baseball?
Yeah, I'm going to try to see if I can get into the D-League in the NBA.
That
I'm going to work on my jump shot. I only have the first goal I really have is to make sure I can dunk. I turned 40 this year, and I told myself I want to be able to dunk at 40, and I'm still able to do it right now, but I want to be able to do something cooler than just a regular one-hand caramel jam. I did.
Hav, you,
oh, that's awesome.
Hav, you really can throw it down? I thought white men can't jump, bro, but what's going on?
So I said, I'm not a sexy dunk, but I'm working on some things. I'm working on that vertical.
Let's go ahead and work on that connection real quick on the back end, Hav. We're going to put you on hold for just a second, work on some technical issues, make sure we can hear all that dynamite analysis that he's now dropping NBC Sports Bay Area.
He wants to throw it down.
That's amazing. You sit there, it's like, yeah, I've always been able to dunk. I wanted to be able to dunk at 40. Touch the net at 40.
Seriously.
Hell, get on the court to look at the net at 40 would be huge for me.
Yeah, I can touch the net. I'm not touching rim anymore.
Have you ever been able to dunk?
Yeah, but no rim.
Really?
No rim. Now I can't touch. I won't even try.
That's all right.
Yeah. Is there a video of this alleged dunk? Because
alleged?
I'm not.
Yeah, when did you throw it down?
If you're selling it, I'm not buying it.
Oh, I was an athlete, bro.
I'm not saying you weren't an athlete.
No, high school.
That's a good question, though. Were you an athlete?
Oh, yeah. Big Glenn. I told you I played basketball all the way up to high school. And then Big Glenn said, no, because wrestling and basketball came at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to wrestle. I was going to play basketball. Big Glenn said, no, you're wrestling. I said, okay, Dad. That was the end of it.
That sucks.
It sucks.
Because wrestling doesn't lead anywhere.
No.
NBA is a very real thing. Probably not for you, but for very few.
I wasn't NBA.
But if you're wrestling, what's your upside? You break your neck like Kurt Angle and win a gold medal?
You wrestle too, though, Joe.
Yeah, but I mean, I got out of it because there's no upside. I mean, you become really tough. Yes, I see the thumbs up. Thank you. We're in the middle of just a goof here. Javi Lopez rejoining the program here on 95.7 The Game. So you don't want to go for the Karl Malone one-handed throwdown. What do you have in mind then, Hav?
I'm thinking, I mean, I need to be able to get a reverse. If I can do a reverse, then I'm doing some things.
What about Eric Burns? You could go on a 100-mile run with him.
I follow him on Instagram, and I just can't even do it. Like, I just watch him for exercise, and I count that as something.
We can appreciate that, man. How about you go a little, we'll do a little half marathon. I might even get my old butt out there if you're going to go. I think Joe's going to do it. Maybe me, you, and Joe, we can go do it, and we can, you know, hold hands
together.
I don't
want you running next to me. I told you this. This guy's going to be next to me talking my ear off. I just want to focus on the 13.1. That's it. Is that too much to ask?
No, you can do the 13. I'll join you for the 0.1.
The 0.1 is the walk to the bar for that Michelob Ultra Light they hawk for the marathon runners.
And I'm in. I'll do that. I'm gladly to have a beer with you guys.
And you're buying, Hav, so that's good.
Yeah.
Make sure you bring your wallet.
He's retired now. You know how it is. You got to cheapen up.
Oh, no. Hav's got that big money. He's played a long time. Hav's got so much money, he don't know what to do with it. Hey, Hav, let's get to a baseball
question for you.
Yeah, Hav, let's go to baseball. The Giants. You know, last year we're asking you what's going on. You know, you guys had a hot start. It was the even year and got out to a great start and then start to teeter at the end and made a push in the playoffs. Now I'm going to ask you again, you know, what's kind of going on with the Giants, especially with the bats? You look at Kane, rotation. Is this early in the year, or do you look at this team and say, wow, this team is going to eventually have to make some serious changes if they're going to get back to where they want to get?
Well, I like to look at it this way, that you break camp with the 25 guys you want on the roster, and those 25 guys are going to get you out of whatever hole you're in. You can't panic and not show faith in those guys that you decided – after 6 weeks of work down in Scottsdale that you're just going to turn your back on them. So watching the games, I think that they're actually playing pretty well. They are getting, they give up that big hit late in the game to the opposing team, or they can't hold them down, or they can't score. So it's not like they're getting blown out every game. It's just they're not coming through consistently. But I'd like to think that this is finally like the first true road trip that they're on. You know, you open up the season in Arizona and then go to San Diego. You're back down in spring training where you were just at. So now you're in Kansas City. You got a day off before the Kansas City series. You got a day off before you go to Colorado. And I think finally these guys can get a little bit of time away from what they've, the norm that they've gotten used to, and play some teams that they don't see every day. You don't see the Kansas City. I mean, you see them out in spring training, but, you know, you face them once or twice. You play Arizona like 16 times in spring training, it seems like. So, you know, it's finally time to get away from some of these clubs and see what really happens. And I think, obviously, left field is an issue, and injuries are not helping. Obviously, Buster Posey getting hit, you lose a middle-of-the-order guy. He kind of makes everybody even better when he's in that role. And, you know, left field to get figured out. But, obviously, it's been a very traumatic week, you know, with Crawford losing his sister-in-law and Orlando Cepeda losing his wife. I mean, there's a lot of things that are going on in San Francisco Nation that just needs to just kind of go away for a little while, and things will right. They'll right in the ship. I like Matt Cain today. I like the way he's been throwing, and I expect good things.
How do you, as a ball club, get through things like that, like the two things you mentioned with Cepeda's wife and Brandon Crawford's sister-in-law? Is it something where you give a guy space, or do you try to get everyone together for some time in chapel, or what's the approach that you normally take to try to work through it while respecting the player and what's going on in his family life?
Well, I think that's exactly how you said it right there. You respect the player, but you also got to, we're also a family, and when you're as close-knit as this clubhouse is, you know, if they need a shoulder to lie, to just, you know, talk them some things out, you got to do it. You got to be available. You got to make yourself available, and I think that's what everybody's trying to do. You never know how to exactly do it other than say, hey, man, I'm sorry for your loss. I feel for you. If you need something, I'm here, because that's what families do. They reach out, and everybody will go through the process on their own. But I think, you know, they just need to play some good baseball, and that a lot of that will just take care of itself if you just start winning some ball games.
Four-time World Series champ Javi Lopez with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You mentioned the Buster Posey concussion earlier. How's the team going to handle that? Obviously a cornerstone player with the data that has surfaced in recent years in all sports regarding concussions. The approach going forward, this is going to be probably pretty delicate, don't you think?
I would think so. I mean, obviously the Giants have dealt with a lot of concussions over the last few years, from, you know, all the way back to Hector Sanchez to Brandon Belt recently, Joe Panic. They know what they're doing. They'll figure it out. The training staff is well versed in what's going on. And again, you don't need to rush Buster out there in April, because you don't win a division in April. But you worry about those things in September and October. So I'm sure they're going to take their time. But it seems like he's following the right protocols, and he should be okay.
When you look at center field span, you know, what is he starting to bring to the club? You see him out early and doing opening of the season, wasn't able to go. Now he's kind of in the lineup. What can we expect from him this year?
Well, I hope that he's, you know, the injuries are hopefully behind him. I know it's been a nagging thing, and anytime you're dealing with a joint, you know, hip in particular, it gets a little difficult at times. I mean, that can creep up on anybody. I know I have a bit of a bum knee, and I can do one little thing and it'll tweak it. So, you know, I understand that as an athlete, what he might be going through, but I feel like he just needs to be comfortable in what he's doing and the role that he needs to play for this club. And I think, obviously, when you have Buster down, some guys are going to press and try to do too much. And you know, as a table setter, he needs to just kind of just relax and do what he did so well in Washington and in Minnesota before then, just be able to get on base and create some havoc and run a little bit and put some pressure on the pitchers, because I know on the pitching side, with having him on base, it's something that you definitely think about. And I think that's maybe he just might be pressing a little bit too much, but I have full confidence that he's going to be just fine as the season progresses.
And to that point, how much does that help just other guys when having him on base? What does that do for not necessarily the confidence, but just for the whole schematics of, you know, getting runners in scoring position?
Well, it's tremendous. I think obviously when you get him on base, he's a guy that has some speed. He can go first to third. He can do certain things. He can steal a base for you. And then when you have Brandon Belt hitting behind you, who the guy has, he knows the strike zone really well. He's going to either move the guy over, get a hit, or walk. I mean, he's really good at getting on base. And, you know, again, that's where it sets up with Buster Posey and Crawford and getting those lineups back to what it was for opening day. I think you're going to see a lot more runs being scored, and and just better offense. I mean, they have been scoring runs. It's just the ability to put the pitching together with that offense that's kind of missing out right now. But I do think these guys, that's when it's at its best, when you have some traffic early in the lineup to set up the bigger hitters, especially Crawford, the way he's been swinging the bat, and even Panic down further down the line.
Javi Lopez with Jolo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Bumgarner just comes right out and hits two home runs in the first game of the season. Like, you're probably sitting there watching that like I am, thinking, my God, where's it end with this guy? Like, where's it end? We came in the next day, the hot takes were that he should be hitting cleanup.
Yeah, I mean, he's a special guy. I kid around with him, and I kid around with him last year, that he's the hardest and scariest 180 hitter in the league. But to be fair, I think the last couple of years he's been hitting over 220, I think, out of a pitcher spot with all that power. So, you know, a lot of guys don't want – I know as a pitcher and talking to the opposing pitchers, you don't want to be the guy that gives up a home run to the guy. And you don't also want to walk him. You feel silly if you walk him. So, you know, he has all the tools to really disrupt the ball game. And I think when he hits that homer off of Greinke and he does those things like that, that rattles some cages in pitchers' heads. And they don't want to be the next victim of Madison Bumgarner. So, I know Bochy's not afraid to pinch hit the guy. He obviously can hit for power. I just hope that, he can – I'm more excited to see what Interleague brings when he can actually DH for himself or hit for himself in those games and see how those go.
We had a debate last week about Tony Romo leaving the NFL and jumping into the broadcast booth, joining Jim Nantz on the number one team, and whether or not it may have been better for Romo to start off on the second or third team just to kind of cut his teeth a little bit, make some mistakes, learn the industry. You're going to be stepping into the booth this year when Kruko takes some games off. Have you been going through any sort of media training to get ready for it?
You're looking at it. I'm trying to go through it right now. I'm flying by the seat of my pants here. I'm just trying to let it go. I'm watching a lot of baseball games, not just Giants coverage, but seeing how other color commentary guys do their business here and during the game. And I'll try to just meld all that together and try to come up with my own little thing. But I get a little taste to see what Affeldt does tonight. He's doing the Kansas City game. So I will check that out, see how that goes. And it's going to be, I'm going to make it as smooth as possible, but you're never going to try to replace that guy. Those two are legends, and, thankfully, Kruko has given his blessing on these things, and Kuiper is one of the best, if not the best, in the game. And, of course, I'm being partial there, but I think he paints a good picture for the audience, and I'm just going to try to compliment that the best I can.
Without a doubt, and just remember, less of the upper body work and more work around your gut if you want to fit in with us media types.
Yeah.
Well, I'll definitely sample all the food in any ballpark that I go to. I want to make sure that I get the full fan experience, so don't worry about that.
Have you been working on any sort of catchphrase? I mean, there's grab some pine meat. That one's already taken, but is there anything out there that you've been working with? I understand you don't want to give it away on the program. We're fine with that, but have you been toying with anything?
There's a couple things that I'm thinking about throwing out there. I'm bouncing them off some of the guys. I'm getting a decent response from a few of them, so... that's what it's going to be. I'm going to have to just come up with something and see what the fans say. Ultimately, it's only 14 games I'm doing. So if they don't like it, they don't have to listen to it very long. So,
wow. Hey, Hob, you can always steal Chris Berman's. It goes with every sport. Back, it's good. So that one you can throw in the repertoire.
What are you talking about?
No doubt about it. I got to pay homage to some of the people that I got to listen to growing up. So there might be some old school shout outs for sure.
We've got locabulary here, the words Lorenzo Neal invents on a regular basis. We could put him in touch with you. You could take some locabulary and bring it to the Giant broadcast.
Hey, anything to push the product, I'm in. I'll do whatever I need to do.
He's a team player.
Herocious. That's my go to. Herocious.
Yeah. Horrible and atrocious combined. Herocious. Go ahead and feel free to use that one.
I like it. All right.
There it is. We're done. Four-time World Series champ Javi Lopez, now with NBC Sports Bay Area. Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. As always, Javi, a true pleasure getting to catch up with you. Thank you for your time, and good luck on the broadcast. We look forward to catching up with you down the road.
Guys, I appreciate it, and good luck with your fantasy baseball team, I should say.
Yeah. Actually, Team Fortinball's kicking some ass right now.
Attaboy.
Even though Gary Sanchez had to make a replacement. You know who got called up?
Who's that?
I believe in Stephen Vogt.
Oh,
Steven Vogt.
Okay.
There we go.
Come on, Vogt.
You'll come through. He's from the Valley. He's got you. I'll call him.
I have a feeling that Chris Davis is going to be the first guy in MLB history to hit 50 home runs and have exactly 50 RBIs this season. He's also on my squad. Every freaking shot is a solo shot. You ever notice that? There's never any ducks on the pond.
Tough to drive in a lot of runs.
It's like, oh, man, last night, Chris Davis was awesome. 4 for 4, 2 home runs, 2 RBIs.
You're like, what?
4 for 4, 2 homers, 2 RBIs. He's going to be the first guy to hit 2 home runs and have 1 RBI.
Yeah, it's almost impossible.
What's that like, the transition coming out of your final year playing? You and Javi had long careers. We're not talking 3, 4 years and then jumping into the media like some guys are lucky enough to do because they're good at it. You did 16 years. You were going for a 17th. Javi was around a long time. Now, all of a sudden, for him, here comes spring. For you, here comes the fall. And there's nothing. Your schedule's gone. What's that like? What's going through your mind when you wake up?
It's your body. It's really interesting, Joe. It did. When you're done, it's like, you're like, oh, my God. I'm not able to get in my car, drive down to the Raiders facility, and punch in my code. The gate's open. Go into the place, go work out off season, do what I want. Just walk, have full range of doing anything you want the off season, during the season. It's like a second home. It's like your playground. You leave the house, you're not having a good day.
You would enjoy going in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some people view it as work and they might not enjoy it as much. You actually enjoyed going to the facility.
It wasn't work for me. I promise. And that's why I think I lasted so long, because it wasn't work. You know, work is... Man, when you're getting up in the morning at 4 and you got friggin' pigs, you know, in your face, and you got cows.
We can all relate. Everyone in here can relate. Dibs knows what it's like to get up at 4 with the cows.
You're getting on the tractor, and you're dissing a field for 7, 10 hours all day, and you're just round in a circle, and you're just like, that's work. The work, going to football practice and not even going to practice, just going into, it's like your serenity. It's your way. You get away. I can go lift weights. I can go watch some film, go watch the upcoming team. If not, go start working for the team next year. Look at all my plays that I missed, blocks. And it's a great place. So when you're saying, what's it like not being able to do that? It's friggin' weird.
What did you do that first fall? Were you in media? Because I know you got the Comcast thing going on. You got the radio going on. You got your side ventures. I mean, you're a very active man. But that first fall, what did you have going on?
Yeah, I was doing some media, but it's still different.
What kind of media? Like some TV hits?
Yeah, so some TV hits, doing some radio. You know, I had to do some radio in San Diego, doing some media in Baltimore.
Was any of it regular? Or was it just hits?
Well, Comcast was regular. Okay. Comcast, right when it was done, they asked me to come over. You know,
they needed
right
to
away.
Get that big dome in there.
Absolutely. I mean, can you blame them? But anyways.
No, I can't.
But it was still different, because you used to getting up and going to work out for a purpose, going to work out and say, man, I got to get stronger because this is this is the reason. And now you don't have to do that. All your life is, okay, I got to get ready. And you're working for something. And not to have that, it's different. I don't care what you say. I don't care how long you played. I don't care if you retired on your own terms. I don't care, whatever. It is a difference. You think about it. You've been doing something probably since the age of 7, 8 years old, and you do it till you're 38, and then all of a sudden,
you know, nothing
38,
else.
39.
Every single fall has been the same for you.
Yes. And in spite of doing other businesses and doing stuff, Joe, it was scary. It was like, God, you know, and you look around and say, God, what's my purpose? What, you know, and of course you still got family and you're still doing things, but being in that sorority, being in that fraternity...
He said sorority.
It's like being know what I'm saying? It's sorority, a fraternity.
Joe, being in that sorority, me, Romanowski. Yeah, that's a hell of a sorority right there. I'd love to get a mixer dialed up if you tried else.
Oh, boy.
Skate me. Yes, it's just.
Bill. Yeah.
Explain it to me.
Smells a little dirty to me. Were you bored that first fall? Did you find boredom at all?
I was, Joe, and not just that. I remember watching a game and almost wanted to turn his TV off. The body was like watching the opening kickoff.
Oh, like week one, watching a regular. What was the first game you watched where you weren't an NFL player?
I was sitting on a Sunday, and it was Baltimore. I think
Is this down in the Berg? Fresburg?
Yeah, down in the Berg. I like that. Down in Fresburg. And I was sitting on the couch. And it was a couple minutes before the kickoff. I even got up and start walking around.
Is this a 10 a.m. kick?
Yes, sir. And I'm like, what's going on? And You know, you see it and you say, welcome to the 2010, 2009 season. And you see it and you see the lights and you see the kick. And it's like, and your world is different because you used to traveling to the stadium, being a part of it, and being out there and looking up and seeing all the crowd and hearing the roar. And it's no longer. You're just a part out there. You're out there just looking. I'm telling you, man, it really tripped me out, bro.
So you're getting all amped up, and instead of the coach saying, jumbo package, you're hearing, take the garbage out.
Yeah.
Damn it, woman. Right, I'm trying to watch this game. Right, right. I haven't watched a football game my whole life.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
That's a legitimate take. Honey, I love you. I've never seen a football game in my entire life. This is the first one.
Joe, you're right. It was so weird watching football games because only time I really got to watch them is the Sunday night game and maybe Monday half of. But you're looking at the game differently when you're playing against these teams. You're watching other positions, watching your position, say, I'm way better than him. And now you're looking at a totally different perspective. It's crazy.
It's beautiful stuff. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Taking me down memory lane.
Could only imagine what it's like. When I hang it up from the game one day, I wonder if I'm just going to walk around just randomly doing radio in the household.
I think you would.
Quick divorce coming in that scenario. Real quick divorce coming in that scenario.
That is a fact.
I'm glad we're ready on the Romo drops now. All right, here's what we're going to do. That was the low show. The ref show is up next. Dibs will take you through it. Joe Low and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Tonight on the Ref Network. Did the Memphis Grizzlies fizzle with the Spurs? Here's Grizzlies coach David Fizdale on the refs.
You know, I know Pop's got pedigree and I'm a young rookie, but they're not going to rook us. Take that for data.
Wow. Wow, tonight on the Ref Network, Joe.
The Ref Network, your idea about a week ago. How did we stumble into that?
I made some cockamamie remark about how
Dean Blandino was joining Fox.
Yes, and I love the refs so much that who wouldn't want to watch a network dedicated to only officials?
I think we're going to be doing that here on the program. Our producer had a great idea. We're going to turn it into a weekly thing. Are we calling it the Ref Show? I'm sorry, was that the Ref Network? The Ref Network. And we're going to take egregious mistakes and we're going to highlight them. Is that what you would look? You're quarterbacking this thing.
Yeah, that would be part of it. Also, you know, talk about refs who make the right call. Maybe we can not only look at the negative, but also point out the positives. Because sometimes in these games, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, it's the call that's not made that really stands out to me, Joe.
You know better than that. If it bleeds, it leads, Dibs.
I know.
We're not coming in here with correct calls. We're coming in here with incorrect calls. The reason the Ref Network is airing right now is because of what happened in Memphis last night. We're going to go ahead and play the audio. David Fizdale, Memphis Grizzlies head coach, after the game on the officiating in what turned out to be a 96-82 victory for the San Antonio Spurs.
You know, it's unfortunate that I got a guy like Mike Conley who in his whole career has got zero technical fouls and just cannot seem to get the proper respect from the officials that he deserves. It was a very poorly officiated basketball game. Zach Randolph, the most rugged guy in the game, had zero free throws, but somehow Kawhi Leonard had 19 free throws. First half, we shot 19 shots in the paint, and we had 6 free throws. They shot 11 times in the paint, and they had 23 free throws. I'm not a numbers guy, but that doesn't seem to add up. Overall, 35 times we shot the ball in the paint. We had 15 free throws for the game. They shot 18 times in the paint and had 32 free throws. Kawhi shot more free throws than our whole team. Explain it to me. We don't get the respect that these guys deserve because Mike Conley doesn't go crazy. He has class, and he just plays the game. But I'm not going to let them treat us that way. You know, I know Pop's got pedigree, and I'm a young rookie, but they're not going to rook us. That's unacceptable. That was unprofessional. My guys dug in that game and earned the right to be in that game, and they did not even give us a chance. Take that for data.
Woo! David Fizdale, Memphis Grizzlies head coach, after last night's 96-82 defeat in San Antonio. The Spurs now with a 2-0 series lead. San Antonio, meanwhile, 27-2 in playoff series when they get a 2-0 lead. Dibs, it's the Ref Network. What kind of fine do you think the NBA is going to be handing down to Fizdale for his comments on the officiating?
I think we're going to be up around $50,000. Whew. You know, when you go off on the officials, it's usually 10, 20, 25, depending on how voracious you were when he used the word rook.
But they're not going to rook us.
They're not going to rook us.
And what does that mean?
He's not talking about chess, like knight to rook four. He's talking about rook as in steal, as in cheat us. You're not going to rook us. We used to use that in tennis. When you play a tennis match and you call your own and some guy hooks you or he rooks you on a call, you're not going to rook me. He may be a rook, but when you intimate that the referees may have cheated you or just plain cheated, I think the fine's going to be 50 grand. Large.
A lot of rooking going on in the tennis world?
Oh, yeah. You get hooked. You get rooked all the time.
You can get hooked and rooked.
Hooked and rooked. And
what's a hook?
A hook is when you hit a ball up the line and he calls it out, and even though it was in. It's like, dude, don't hook me. Don't hook me, bro.
What's a rook?
A rook is kind of a similar thing. It's a synonym of the hook. In this case, he's talking about them getting rooked. Don't try to rook us just because he's a rookie.
Anna, you play tennis. Were you known to rook people?
I was not known. I was a very, very honest tennis player.
Don't ask me that question.
Try that one out. You can fertilize the lawn, I'm sure.
I'm telling you. I've always been very honest.
Have you ever heard that phrase, rook?
Actually, I haven't, but that's actually pretty cool now that I think about it.
Did you ever rook anyone in the National Football League?
I hooked somebody, but I didn't rook nobody. No, I've definitely hooked a couple of guys in my time.
Explain it to me.
I grabbed them, and I tried to grab them. I tried to choke them, and I tried to hook them, tried to trip them.
You tried to choke people?
At times, yeah.
Who?
Ray, a couple dudes.
You tried to choke Ray Lewis?
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Well, you know, I was down, and I had blocked him, and then I had the pancake block on him, and then
So he's on his back.
Yeah, and then he's, trying to punch up. So you just go, because you got the helmet, but you still got your neck there.
Throat's exposed.
Absolutely.
So you grab him by the throat.
Oh, yeah. I try to pull to get him.
You know what happened in Atlanta. That's a big risk you're taking.
Hey, I'll meet you. Don't sing it to me. Bring it to me. Don't bring your mouth. Bring your hands. I lay hands sometimes. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do, Joe.
What would Ray do when you would try to choke him while he was laying on the field?
Quit trying to choke him. Like, quit trying to punch and kick them. Calm down. You want me to calm down? You calm down. You two first blood. I'm Rambo.
I'm on top.
I'm the Black Rambo. Man, I'm trying to tell you, there are some guys, man. One guy I told you, Ricky Jackson. I got tough. I cut my teeth in New Orleans. So you got to realize, I'm a little country boy. I didn't do nothing. I was a good little boy out there. Them boys made me kind of corrupt. I had a guy, Ricky and those cats, Joe, they would put a knife in their sock. They'd bring a knife out to practice at times.
Out to practice?
You think I'm lying?
Get out of here.
Why would you need a knife on the field?
To stab somebody, Joe.
A teammate?
Yeah, bring a little buck knife. Just have his knife in his pants. The guys would do that.
Just in case what, though?
Joe, I had guys at practice, Joe, right before practice, sitting on a bench outside, and it's 110 degrees, and it's muggy, like
muggy,
and it's humid, and they smoking cigarettes before you get ready to go run and go practice. It was New Orleans. We had Gene Atkins bring a gun. Man, it's soft now. It's a lot. Gene Atkins had his gun in his locker.
Just sitting out?
Just sitting. I said, man, what is going on? It was New Orleans, bro.
You were probably on shook status as soon as you got there.
Shook status. I went to the store and bought me a gun. Hell, I'm like, I'm scared of these chokers.
You called your mom to come stay with you.
Called Darlene. Darlene, you better get out here now. Your son is scared out here, boy.
That's a true story.
These brothers got me shook up.
The league is soft now. No one gets stabbed at practice anymore.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. What is Goodell doing banning guns from the locker room?
Oh, boy.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Keeping each other in check.
Oh my God. I mean, you started in 1990, is that right?
Yeah, 91. Well, 91.
And you think about it, that is a long time ago. Not to make you feel old. I am older than you. But
Dalton Hilliard.
Yeah,
it was a different era. Ricky Jackson, Dalton Hilliard, Sam Mill, Von Johnson.
It's the knife era.
Seriously, of course.
Everyone was just packing weapons.
Oh, yeah.
It's before the TV era. You know what Orion's? You know the movie Semi-Pro when they realize with Will Ferrell, when they realize the merger's going through and they can't fight on the court anymore?
Yeah.
So they're just like, wait, what about at the commercial? He goes, yeah, the commercial. I like that. So ref, time out. And he's just like, all right, time out with 11:55 to go in the first quarter. It's a 2-0. And then as soon as it goes to the commercial, they start fighting. That's what this sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
Is it Outlaw Wild West?
Oh, bro. Dude, Joe, after practice, all right, we're going to go. dudes hooking it up. It was a different era.
So stuff that would take place on the practice field, because it can get chippy.
Yeah.
It's grown men playing a physical sport. Obviously, emotion's going to boil over, but it would boil over to the point where it would need to be settled afterwards?
Yeah, where guys come in and have to break them up on the plane and on the... I'm seeing...
On the plane.
On planes, or the Blu-ray games. Yo, it's serious. Yo, I'm in San Diego. I see two naked men fighting. Naked.
In the locker room.
In the locker room, in the shower, fighting.
Fighting in the shower.
You think I'm lying? I'm lying. I'm flying.
Over the soap, no doubt.
What was it over?
Yeah. I don't know. Money,
nothing
women.
For you,
Texas how?
Yeah. Money, gold. Women. It's just crazy, bro. You see guys, man, in towels fighting in the locker. I mean, dude, it's a lot going on. You don't think this stuff goes on? You got these grown men coming from different parts of different walks of life, and you get them in these locker rooms, and testosterone gets to going. Guys in a towel. What? Push a guy in the face, like, get away, push a little push, and he thinks that's it? Overhand rights coming. I mean, it's crazy.
Oh, Lord.
Once you're down in the towel, you see yourself in the mirror, you're looking good, you're looking big, ego probably swells a little bit.
Of course.
It's at its most primitive nature.
Or someone get punked in a locker room, you got to realize, oh, man, God, ooh, you see. No, he didn't. Oh, yes, he did.
So you're saying if someone pranks another guy, the ego has been bruised.
Absolutely.
So now it's time to throw it out.
Absolutely.
Have you seen that happen?
Absolutely.
Can you tell us the story?
I was in San Diego. We had two linebackers go at it, and I had to come in, and the big fella had to break it up.
Were they naked? Was this the naked fight?
Yeah, they were down in their shorts.
Who broke up the naked fight? Who wants to get involved in the middle of a naked fight?
Well, it was kind of, yeah. It just, sometimes one of them's scared, another one's glad of it. You just pride in the way, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, we got to do this. And you know when they kind of scare because they start tussling and twisting and turning and grabbing. It's just.
You can tell when it's that whole hold me back sort of situation.
Right.
There's a lot of screaming because you know there's a lot of guys in front of you.
Absolutely. No one's going to their knife. You know, no one's pulling out their gun in the shower.
Right.
Yeah, that shower, you don't have the protection of the knife or the gun.
Oh, but New Orleans, there was times where guys would say, okay, you wait right here. I mean, guys would be...
Leave the shower to get the knife.
Man, it was crazy.
No wonder you called your mom. One of the greatest fullbacks of all time. Mom, I need you in New Orleans. Move in with me, please.
Oh, Lord.
I told you, hey, training camp, surprised I told you.
I can't believe you survived that. Some of the stories that you don't tell on air about walking in with the beer. Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Rook, leave the beer. Oh, I'd like to play poker too. And then the knife just comes out.
Yeah,
and
it's
like, get the expletive out of here.
I want to get Ricky.
Okay, see ya.
Yeah, Ricky Jackson pulled a knife on me.
We got to get him on.
Yeah, true friend, Dish.
It was essentially the, Dish, hey guys, true. Big gulps. All right.
Yeah.
Well, see you later. Sean Livingston's up next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
But they're not going to rook us.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
15's the magic number, ladies and gentlemen. 15 wins. Until another Warrior Championship. To discuss more realistic timelines, because obviously they're just going one game at a time, the great Sean Livingston with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Sean, I know it's the playoffs, but I saw you pass up an open three the other night. I thought we were over this last week, man. That three is hot.
Which one, which one was this? It was so many of them. You know, I get to shoot so many of them. Which one are we talking about?
You were being a good teammate. I saw you peek at the rim, and then you fed it underneath, and it ended up being a bucket, I think, for Draymond. And it looked really good. It was Warrior basketball, but I couldn't help but think, man, Livingston hit that three last week. He can go ahead and start throwing those up. I think everyone's good with it now.
Right. I'm still hot. You know, I think I was 1-for-3 for the season, so I'm still hot.
Liv, you were definitely hot, man. And I just love that jump shot, man. When you jump shot and then that little leg kick out, I'm like, go ahead and do your thing, man. Well, tell me about that little skilo you got there.
Yeah, you know, mid-range. mid-range assassin. I mean, you know, it's just getting to the spot, getting to your sweet spot, you know, real old school, like, man. So just trusting that zone.
You know, of all the playoff series that you've been involved in, that game one against Portland, that was a lot of fun from our perspective to watch. Draymond was chippy with Lillard, with Evan Turner, with CJ McCollum. But afterwards, it seemed like it was all in good fun. It's going to elevate everyone's game. Being a part of that whole thing, how does that compare to other game ones in the opening round?
Yeah, man, that was, you know, it was an exciting game. Obviously, you know, we're both going at it. You know, the competitive level is, you know, super high. And especially, you know, when you get to talking, guys get to talking, and, you know, you have a chip on your shoulder, you have something to play for, it's bragging rights, it's, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, we're both trying to advance. We both, you know, super confident teams. You know, obviously Dame, super confident, CJ as well, and those guys. And they're trying to elevate the, you know, the play of their teammates. And I think that's kind of what, you know, and Draymond, in a sense, it elevates his game. You know, when you have something to play for, whether it's bragging rights or, you know, you're talking, it really allows you to focus. I don't know if you guys kind of read the Jordan rules, but that was kind of his, you know, his way of elevating his game. You know, it was intimidating to the opponent, but even more so it was for himself. And I think, you know, Draymond has a little bit of that with you know, with himself. He raises his play as he starts to get to talking to, you know, other guys, the trash talking.
All the trash talk aside, you still have the job of slowing down Lillard and McCollum. What's the key for you guys defensively, particularly yourself, when you come in and you get matched up with those guys to try to slow them down?
Just make it tough. I mean, they're, you know, they're good players. You know, they're going to hit tough shots. But, you know, just making it difficult, sticking to the game plan, and, you know, just trusting your teammates.
Sean, when a guy like Draymond do that and you see his emotions and you guys see that, is that battle call where you're like, okay, that's my dog, we got to go now? Because you know the other team, you see them get chippy, you see everyone start to rise up and start to bring their level up. Is that call where you guys just like, all right, guys, let's go?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, when you're in war, you know, and you're in the foxhole, I mean, it's that's kind of, you know, everybody has each other's back, right? It's, you know, the best team ends up coming out, you know, with the victory. And, you know, you see a guy in battle, you want to make sure you have his back and be dependable. And I mean, that's part of being, you know, a good teammate. It doesn't mean necessarily that I have to go and you know, talk or trash talk or whatever the case may be. But at the same time, you know, I'm going to have a guy's back, you know, and I expect him to have my back as well, right? And that's that trust, that's that commitment to each other and that level of competitiveness, you know, that we all have out there on the court.
It's different from the radio game. It's every man for himself in here, I'll tell you what. Sean Livingston with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You guys played Sunday, then you played tomorrow night. 2 days off. As fans, we get antsy. For you guys, do you prefer the additional rest, or would you like the one night of rest and then right back to it?
You know, I like the one night off, just rhythm-wise. But, you know, it's good for us, I guess, just to allow us to rest and, you know, refresh, hit the reset button. If a guy, you know, is banged up or whatever the case may be. So, you know, I personally prefer, you know, one day in between games. But, you know, I don't set the schedule, so it is what it is.
Hey, Sean, you know, right now you guys playoffs, of course, but then you're kind of watching the league and watching other teams. When you watched the game last night, you heard the coach kind of what he said about the officiating in that Memphis game. What was your thought process kind of watching that game and watching it unfold?
Honestly, I didn't get a chance to watch that game. I watched the previous one. But, you know, as far as
I got you.
As far as officiating, that's a, you know, that's a, man, it's a slippery slope because, you know, it's the playoffs. You expect for it to be physical and you expect for them to let certain calls go. But, you know, talking about the officiating after the game, you know, that gets your pockets hit sometimes. But as a coach, you know, you got to stick up for your team. And so it's definitely a slippery slope.
Do you guys do much referee scouting in that when the assignments come out, game two, if you see Scott Foster on the sheet, perhaps somebody with whom there's been some difficulty, shall we say, and I've had much stronger words, but for the sake of not putting you on the spot, we'll leave that at that and just ask if you guys do referee scouting and prepare yourselves accordingly when you get certain assignments.
Listen, we definitely know who and what refs are coming in and, you know, kind of their reputation. You know, I'm not going to name any names, but same time, you know, we know, you know, guys' reputations and kind of their history of reffing. And so, you know, we're aware of that as a veteran team. And so, you know, that comes into play. But at the end of the day, you know, it is the game of basketball, but
you know, it's part of it as well, you know, officiating and refereeing. So we have to be aware of, you know, of our surroundings.
I appreciate the candor in the answer. I'm actually hoping. No, I'm serious, Sean. I'm a low-level referee. I do a lot of youth sports, and I'm thinking about launching the Ref Channel that would be devoted just to officials. Do you think that would go over good?
Oh, shucks.
The Ref Network, Sean.
I don't know how. What's it? You know what's the sound around there? I mean, have you bounced it off a couple guys? What are they saying?
We shot it down. Probably.
you hear shot it down. Come on, man. You hear us right now.
You see that, Sean? How they have my back like that?
I see it. Every man for himself. Part of the world.
I told you. You're eventually going to transition into media. You better learn that lesson now. Sean Livingston with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Sean, thank you for your time. We know you're busy. Best of luck tomorrow night in Game 2, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks, fellas.
Sean Livingston and all Warrior guests always sound better if you're wearing JBL headphones, the official sound of the Golden State Warriors and 95.7 The Game. Tickets for all Warrior home playoff games, including Wednesday's Game 2 of the first round against Portland, are always available on Warriors.com. Even in the event of a sellout, there are always last-minute holds and secondary tickets for resale available on Warriors.com, the only verified marketplace for all Warriors ticket needs. That leads us into today's Take Your Pick poll question, brought to you by FH Daily and Novato Chevrolet. Anna, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Today's question, should the 49ers pick LSU running back Leonard Fournette with the number 2 pick? As of right now, 73% of the voters are saying no.
It's a hell of a player.
I mean, hell of a player.
They call him the next Adrian Peterson, but with all those needs, is that what you want to see with the 49ers?
At number 2, it seems almost a little steep, as much as I love watching him, just because he didn't play the last 5 games with the ankle injury. I'm a little concerned about that. So maybe if they were able to trade back and if he's still on the board, I would consider it yes.
JT the Brick is on vacation, so Steinmetz and Guru are coming up next. That is going to be a thriller. I'm actually very excited for Riggs and Murtaugh as they come in here.
I get it, Joe.
Don't you go. That's enough's enough. For Anna, for Lowe, for Dibs, I'm Joe Formball. Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. Like I said, Steiny and Guru are up next. Thank you for hanging out. We'll check back with you tomorrow, 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
Nobody loves the officials and the referees more than I do, and that's a fact.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.